me, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter number 16, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16 in your Bible. And we're going to look at this passage of this verse, actually, in your Bible today. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16. And verse number 15. All right. So here is that verse. And you can follow along, please, as we read it. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. I think it's a great verse as we embark another year. We might do better in this area than we did last year. Mark 16. And verse 15, that's a goal of every year, right? Is to do better, to be a better Christian than we have been being. And all of us have not arrived, including yours truly. So we need to do better. Mark 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." All right, that's what we need to do. Now, Lord, we just look to you. We pray that you would open our eyes, our hearts. Help us, Lord, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to our world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And I pray that we will be strengthened in that, in this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we need, as Bible-believing Christians, we need the Bible basis of spreading the gospel strong in our life. We need that. It needs to be strong in our life. I recently heard of a coach, a football coach, and I don't know, what happened yesterday? Okay, I can see it, smiles and whistles, not whistles, but you know, they must have won. The Packers did, huh? All right. So, and did the Steelers win?
Yes.
They did. Good. I was hoping they'd win too, because I was born around Pittsburgh. So, you know, I was kind of, although I could care less, you know, really. I mean, it's not that big a deal. But anyway, this guy was a football coach, and he went into the ministry. He was the same fellow, a Christian. He was a football coach, and the Lord led him out of being a football coach to the ministry. And he said that one of the things that was so important to his being such a successful coach, and he didn't go out of the ministry into the ministry because he was a failure as a coach. You know, he was a very successful coach. And I believe most preachers, if they weren't in the ministry, they'd be very successful somewhere in business, in some area, would be very successful. You know, this fellow was a very successful coach. And he said the reason why he was so successful is because he had this philosophy, and that is he would attack the strengths of the opposing team. And, you know, that was unusual because most coaches will look for the weaknesses of the opposing team and they will go after the weaknesses of that particular team, thinking that, you know, that's the way they're going to win, is to go after the weaknesses, but not with this coach. He said, "I'm going to go after the strengths." And he was very, very successful. He caught the team by surprise, most of them, because most of the teams would, you know, prepare as you would think people would prepare. They would shore up their weaknesses, and they'd really put the emphasis on their weaknesses to try to shore them up. And so when he would attack their strengths, they were totally unprepared. And that's the reason why he said he believed that he had such good success as being a coach. Now, I want to apply that to us. You know, if we are going to be strong in this matter of getting the gospel out, and that's what we need to do. We need to get the gospel out in this year. It's never been needed more to get the gospel out in this year than any year we've ever had on this earth. We need to get the gospel out. And if we're going to be strong at that, we need to be strong in some Bible truths. We need to be strong in some Bible truths. When these Bible truths are not strong in our life, guess what? We're weak in the matter of getting the gospel out, spreading the gospel to people. We're weak in those areas when we're not strong in some Bible truths. As a result of our being weak, the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they're strong and stronger. As a result of our being weak, the Mormons are stronger. As a result of our being weak at spreading the gospel, sin is strong and sin destroys and nations become, you know, worldly and ungodly and on their way to hell. And because why? Because God's people are not strong in giving out the gospel. They become weak in Bible truths that we need to be strong in if we're going to give the gospel out like we ought to give it out. All right? So I want you to see, and I got 10 of them down here. Now, I don't know if I'll get to 10. We'll just kind of see how it goes. One thing I know, it's a very spiritual church because there's no clock around, amen? And I will, I guess I would just kind of give myself a little check of this watch once in a while. You know what that means, don't you? It means nothing. Amen. When a preacher looks at his watch, that's what it means, nothing, right? So I will, what time do we shoot? I kind of shoot for
20 after.
About 20 after, okay. We'll see if we can get to these 10 truths. First, the first truth we need to be strong in is man's need is the same in all the world. Every man's need is the same in all the world. And that is, they need the gospel. We are all guilty. Every person is guilty. The Bible says, Romans 3:19, that the whole world is guilty before God. And, you know, you've got lots of missionaries here at church. It's good to see Brother Canise here. And he's a missionary over there in Hungary. And you know, but he preaches the same message I preach. You know, why? Because the people over in Hungary have the same need as people here. And so we need to be strong in that truth that every man needs the gospel, no matter how rich they are, how poor they are, no matter what kind of home they live in, no matter what kind of car they drive, no matter if they're educated or uneducated, no matter how old they are or how young they are, every person has the same need. We need to be strong in that truth. You know, if we're weak in that truth, you know, we're not going to be spreading the gospel and go forward and spread the gospel in this coming year, this year we're in, as we should. You know, there was a fellow by the name of a preacher, John Hagee, and he is often on TV and so forth, and he can really bring a good message now and then. I mean, he preached a good moral message, but one thing that is very, very heretical that he preaches, and that is that the Jews don't need to be saved. He doesn't believe the Jews need to be saved. But you know what? We know that the Bible says they need to be saved. The whole world, the Bible says, is guilty before God. So we need to be strong in that truth if we're going to spread the gospel. The second truth we need to be strong in is we need to be strong in the truth of God's love. We need to be strong in that truth of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so desires all men to be saved that He gave His only begotten Son. He so desires. He has such a strong love for every person that they would be saved that He gave the most precious thing He had, His only begotten Son. The glory of God is to give mercy to every sinner. That's the glory of God. Are you interested in the glory of God? Are you interested in glorifying God? Am I interested in glorifying God? If we are, then we will be telling people about the love of God for their soul, that God loves them. You know, there was a missionary over in Egypt, and he was telling a woman of the love of God and the wonderful story of God's love. And, you know, the woman stopped the missionary and said, listen, do people in your country believe it? And then she said, I don't think they really do, because if they would, they would not have waited so long to tell me of God's love for me. You know, people need to hear that God loves them. You know, people need to know there's someone that loves them. And so much so that, you know, he gave his only begotten son. God's love. You know, how many people are saved because they hear, God loves me. You know, God loves me. And the love of God's a powerful thing. Dave Barba was a preacher friend of mine and still is, as far as I know. I haven't seen him in a long time. But, you know, he tells how that, you know, one day he was going to go soul winning, and he just didn't feel like going. He just was really struggling with it. And I don't know if you've ever had that, you know, ever really struggle with going out and knocking on doors, or going out or giving a gospel tract to someone, or taking time to witness to someone. I'm sure that all of us have struggled with that. He was really struggling. And then all of a sudden he thought of John 3:16. And he just started quoting that over and over and over again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world. And as he began to dwell and meditate on the love of God, all of a sudden, you know what? That hesitation, that feeling of not wanting to go out there and give the gospel out, it just was taken away. And he couldn't wait to give that gospel message and tell someone that God loved them and that he gave his only begotten son. We need to be strong in that truth if we're going to spread the gospel in 2011 like we should spread the gospel. Thirdly, here's another truth to be strong in. We'd be strong in the truth that Christ died for the sins of the entire world. Christ died for the sins of the entire world. You know, John 1:29, we find that Jesus is coming towards John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the whole world. You know, the world. He didn't say, take away the sin of the elect. You know, he didn't say, take away the sin of some people. He said, the whole world. We need to be strong in that. 1 John 2:2 says that he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You know, that's a scripture verse the hyper-Calvinist really has to struggle with. You know, I don't know how he gets around that. I really don't. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a propitiation, or the mercy seat, or the atoning sacrifice for the whole world. It's not limited to the elect. It's not limited to some people. It's for the whole world. Isn't it great to know that we don't have to say this, you know, as we're thinking about the giving the gospel to someone? Isn't it great to say to ourselves and know this to be true? And that is that we don't need to say, well, I wonder if God died for them. I wonder if Christ died for that person, you know? Isn't it great to know that you never have to ask yourself that question? I wonder if the Lord died for him, you know? You know, there are some people believing on a limited atonement, that Jesus Christ only died for a certain few. You know, I don't know about you, but that would sure cause the gospel, in my thinking, not to get out like it should. Oh, how it ought to get out when we realize that the Bible's salvation is not limited to a certain few. A few years ago, I turned 60, and my family got me a winter scene picture. I love winter. I love the winter scenes, and I think it's a beautiful, beautiful time. And they got me. It was a limited edition. You know, I don't know how much they paid for it. I don't know if they ever told me, but it you know, being a limited edition probably wasn't cheap. You know, it wasn't Walmart or anything like that. It was a limited edition. And what makes a limited edition is that there's only a few of them out there, right? Because it's only a few of them out there, it's a limited edition. And usually that makes it more valuable, you know, because it's a limited edition. But you know something? I'm glad that the most valuable thing in all the world, God's salvation, isn't limited just to me or to you. It's available to everyone. Say, We need to be strong in that truth if we're going to be strong in the matter of spreading the gospel to the whole world. If we're going to be strong in the matter of spreading the gospel in 2011, we've got to be strong. Have you become weak in that truth? Have you become weak in that truth? You know what happens? We don't spread the gospel then. When we're not strong in that truth. Here's another truth we need to be strong in. That is, salvation should be offered to the entire world. To everyone in the world, salvation should be offered. Jesus says here in Mark 16:15, he says, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every Christian. Jesus didn't say to the disciples here, he didn't say, you know, I want you to hide it from a certain group. I want you to, keep it here in Jerusalem. Don't take it anywhere else. No, he said, I want you to take that into the whole world. You know, there are in the scriptures, the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, the book of John, the book of Acts, every one of those books tells us the very same thing. That we are to take the gospel into the whole world. That's what the Word of God says. And that's what Jesus told the disciples. And because they did it, we're here. We're here because they did it, say. You know, are we doing it? Are we spreading the gospel? Not too long ago, I read the story about Hudson Taylor and how that one day he was on his way up one of the rivers there in China. And as he was on his way, you know, he was witnessing to a guy by the name of Peter. And Peter was a Chinaman. Peter wasn't saved, but he was really listening. Taylor went down into his cabin to get some rest. All of a sudden, he heard a big splash, and he wondered what had happened. And then all of a sudden, he heard man overboard, man overboard. And he got up on the deck, and he found out that the person that fell over was Peter. He knew Peter couldn't swim. And he looked out, and he saw some fishermen fishing, and he said, hey, come here, come here, come here. Man overboard, come, bring your nets, bring your nets. And those fishermen said, we're busy, we're fishing. We got things to get done here. And it's not convenient, was the amazing cry of those fishermen. And Hudson yelled, don't talk of convenience, come quickly. There's a man overboard, he's drowning, he can't swim. And they said, well, how much will you give me if we come? And you know, they said, will you have any remuneration for it? And, of course, Hudson Taylor yelled back. He said, well, I'll give you $5. They said, too little. That's not enough. Well, he says, listen, I'll give you all I have. Well, how much is that? They said. And Hudson Taylor yelled back, $14. That's all I have. And finally, those fishermen came. And they put down their net, just one going through the waters, and they brought up Peter, but it was too late. He had drowned. And we look at that and we say, man, that's really terrible. That's really terrible. We condemn those guys. Why didn't they do something about it? They could have rescued a man from drowning. And yet, what about us? We have the gospel net of salvation that rescues souls from dying and going to hell. And you know what? What are we saying? I'm just too busy to go soul winning. You know, listen, it's not convenient for me right now. It's not convenient to give out that tract. It's not convenient to give my testimony. It's not convenient for me to ask that person, are you saved? You know the Lord? Or tell about the love of God. Folks, I tell you something, we're going to be strong in giving out the gospel. We need to realize that salvation is to be offered and should be offered to the entire world. Here's another truth we need strong in. And that is, we need to be strong in the truth that God's will is that everyone be saved. God wills the entire world to be saved. Take your Bible, if you will, and go to 1 Timothy and chapter number 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 in your Bible. And here's what the Bible says. It says in 1 Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks to be made for all men. for kings, for all their authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, now look at this, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God says He wants all men to be saved. That is His will. You know, the Bible says that we're to pray. You know, one of the ways that we get the gospel to people is prayer. That's sowing ministry of the gospel, praying. And we ought to be praying for people to be saved. You have a prayer list? You know, you get a prayer list of people you want to see saved. You know, not just praying, oh, Lord, save souls. You know, that's too general. You need to get specific. Lord, save this man. Save this lady. Save so-and-so. Get some men that you're praying for. You know, I'm praying for President Obama to get saved. I'm praying for his wife to get saved. I'm praying for, some people I know. I've always, like Larry Bird. He was a good basketball player. He's one of the last good white basketball players. And, you know, I'm praying to him to get saved. I'm praying for Bobby Knight to get saved. He's a coach of the Indiana basketball team, you know. And he has gone down the tubes ever since he left. They're just down the bottom of the Big Ten. I don't know if you noticed that. They haven't won a game yet in the Big Ten. I'm praying for Bobby Knight. Good coach, but man, he needs to get saved, say. I'm praying he'll get saved, say. I have a fellow that graduated from the high school I graduated from in Washington State. Praying for him to get saved. He was a good basketball player for Gonzaga, University of Gonzaga. And so I'm praying for him to get saved. You need to be praying for people to get saved because God wills all people to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is not willing that any should perish. Not that some, you know, it doesn't say some perish. He's not willing that just some people perish. He's not willing that any person should perish, the Bible says. We got to be strong in that truth. If we are going to spread the gospel like we should in this coming year, if you're going to spread the gospel to people and get the gospel out, the glorious message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the salvation of lost souls. We are in the will of God, folks, when we go door to door. You are in the will of God when you're out there knocking on doors because God is not willing that any should perish. That person behind that door, God's not willing that they should perish. And you know, people are about willing. A lot of people are on the verge of perishing. When you knock on that door, you never know what's behind that door. You never know. There may have been a thought of suicide. There may have been an attempt at it. You just don't know. So God is not willing that any should perish. The safest place to be in the world is right in the will of God. And I'll tell you something, you are in the will of God when you're and I are giving the gospel to someone. We're in the will of God, no matter who that person would be. We need to be strong in the truth that God wills the entire world to be saved. Here's another truth to be strong in. We need to be strong in the truth that all of us have a commission from God to go into all the world. It's not just missionaries who go into all the world. It's just not pastors. It's not evangelists. Every born-again Christian, has a commission, a command, if you please, to go into all the world and spread the gospel to every creature. Where to go? God's commanded that in His Word. You know, I believe the main way that that command is going to be fulfilled is through individual Christians spreading the gospel, going into their world and spreading the gospel. You have a world that I don't have. I have a world that you don't have. Say. And so as we go into our world, you know, the Bible says that's the main way that command is going to be fulfilled and obeyed. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 19, 20, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, if that is what God says, and it is, you know, what is the one thing we have to do daily? What is the one thing we ought to do daily if that's a command of God to us to go into all the world? Listen, that one thing that we need to do daily is we need to get the gospel to someone. I mean, do we look up, wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I got to get the gospel to someone today. You know, I got to get the gospel to someone today. That's the way it ought to be. But we're not strong in that, are we? We're kind of weak. We don't even maybe even think about getting the gospel to someone. We need to change our thinking. We need to get up and say, God's given me a command to take the gospel to the whole world. God, I've got to take the gospel to someone. Would you please lead me to that someone? That's someone you want. And you know, Dale Moody said, you know, if he hadn't talked to someone about the Lord in a day, he said, I failed. And one time, in fact, he had gone to bed. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And he all of a sudden he realized that he had not talked to one person about the Lord that day. And he got up, got dressed, went out and did it. See? I mean, he was strong. He was strong in this matter of getting the gospel to someone. Are we? Have you been strong? Or have you gotten weak? As you look over the year, have you gotten weak in this matter of getting the gospel to someone? Hey, 2011. Oh, the gospel needs to get out. We got it locked up inside of us. We need to get this good news out. We need to spread the gospel. We need to get strong in these truths again. Say, we've gotten weak. You know, they become ho-hum. We've forgotten them. You know, they become things that, you know, have slipped through our minds because are so maybe well known in our minds, but they slip from being well known in our hearts. They slip from being well known in our hearts. And that is that we need to get gospel to every person. You know, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Go, ye shall receive power after that ye receive the Holy Ghost, and ye shall go and ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the utter parts of the earth." What that is saying is that every last part of the earth, every last part of the earth, where to go in every last. I mean. You know, there's roads around here, go out in the country somewhere, and, you know, we're to go down those roads, every last part, every lane and every valley, and we're to go to every last part of the earth. Say, that's what God is saying. Say, we're going to every last part of the earth. What does that mean? It means what it says. It says, we're to go. We don't fulfill our obligation until we tell everyone in our world about Christ. In our world, we don't fulfill our obligation. Is there anybody that God would not want you to witness to? Is there anybody in your life God would not want you to give the gospel to? No, there is nobody that God would not want you to give the gospel to. Let me say it again. If this command of going into all the world preach the gospel is going to be fulfilled, it's going to be by individual Christians taking the gospel into their world and giving the gospel out. Now, I want to give you a little thing here that perhaps will help you to see how powerful it is when individual Christians give the gospel out to people, all right? Let's think of mass evangelism here for a minute. Now, having an evangelistic meeting, you know, and having them all around the country and all around the world, and let's say that 1,000 people get saved every day in this coming year. You know, we've already had some of those days go by, but let's say in 365 days of 2011, there were 1,000 people saved through mass evangelism in this coming year. That'd be 365,000 people. That'd be great, wouldn't it? 365 people getting saved, 1,000 people getting saved. Now, let's say that, you know, the next year, we doubled that. We doubled that into mass evangelism. That'd be 730,000. Let's say in 10 years, what would be the amount of getting saved in 10 years if you double that every year? It would be 3,650,000 people. In mass evangelism. And going around holding evangelist campaigns, you know, and mass evangelism. But let's take on the other side, the individual Christian, going into all the world preaching the gospel, all right? Let's say one Christian this year, goes out and wins someone else, all right? That would be two people, all right? Let's say that in the next year you doubled that. That would be four, wouldn't it? I mean, those two people went out. And they won two more. That'd be four. Let's say in 5 years, that would be 32 people coming to know the Lord. Now, you know, when you think of, 365,000 getting saved every year in the mass evangelism, 32, that's kind of small. And they're kind of small when you think about it. In 10 years, remember 10 years, having 365,000 people saved, mass evangelism, in 10 years, that'd be 3,650,000. Remember we said that? But in 10 years, individual Christians going out and winning somebody and doubling that every year, only be 1,024. Praise God for 1,024. But it seems kind of small, doesn't it? It seems like the emphasis ought to be mass evangelism, you know? That's where it's really going to get done. But wait a minute. Let's take it all the way down 20 years, okay? In 20 years' time, let's go down to 40 years. 40 years' time. If you doubled 365,000 getting saved every year through mass evangelism, in 40 years' time, that would be 14,600,000 people getting saved. That'd be really wonderful. But look at this. If you doubled an individual Christian going out and winning someone else, and then, you know, you had two, and you went out the next year, and you doubled that, you had four. Then you went out, those four went out the next year, they had eight, you know. And by the end of 40 years, get this, you'd have 1,099,509,527,296 people saved. What does that show? It shows that if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, go into all the world, it is going to happen. Individual Christians going into their world to preach the gospel. Listen, it's not going to happen through mass evangelism as much as it will through the matter of personal evangelism. We need to be strong in the truth that God has given us a great commission. It's not a suggestion. It's a great command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every single creature. Here's another truth we need to be strong in. We need to be strong in the truth that the Bible teaches that everyone in the world who doesn't get saved will be cast into hell. You know, I never forget, I think the last meeting that I had here, I remember Pastor Robert saying something, I'll never forget it. He said, you know, if we really believed in hell the way we should, we wouldn't go to work tomorrow. We'd go out here and get on the streets and pass out, try to talk to people, and we wouldn't do it. If we really believed in hell the way we should. You know, we don't really believe in hell the way we should. You know, we believe in it, but we don't really believe in it the way we should. And you know what? We need to get strong in this truth. We need to get stronger in the truth that people that don't get saved are going to die and go to hell for all eternity. And we need to get strong in that truth. You know, Billy Sunday was strong in that truth. That's why he gave up playing baseball. One time someone asked the questions. He's there in Chicago in a hotel room overlooking State Street. Said, how come you gave up that lucrative baseball career? And Billy Sunday said, come here, I'll tell you why. And he said, what do you see? He said, look out that window. He says, you know, I see a lady pushing a baby buggy. I see a newspaper man selling some newspapers. He says, that's not what I see. He says, I see a lady on her way to hell. Unless he gets saved. I see a man selling newspapers on his way to hell unless he gets saved. See, I tell you what, Billy Sunday was strong in that truth, and it caused him to be willing to give up his baseball career and become a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to get strong enough that we're willing to give up a night during the week and go soul winning. We need to get strong enough in these truths that hell is real, that we're willing to take time to give the gospel to someone, invite someone to church, to pray for people to get saved, to pass out tracts, to win the lost. We're just not strong at it, folks. We're just not strong. We've gotten weak in this area. And we need to get stronger in 2011 about spreading the gospel. And one of the truths we get strong in is that every person in the world that doesn't get saved will be cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever's not, when name was not found written in the book of life, was cast in the lake of fire. Here's another truth we need to be strong in. And that is, we need to be strong in the truth that the Bible teaches that we can hasten the coming of the Lord as we spread the gospel. We can hasten the coming of the Lord. Do you want Jesus to come? I sure do. I long for His coming. I tell you what, it'd be so great when He comes back again. But the Bible says there's one thing that's keeping Him from coming. What is that one thing? He's not willing that He should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. You remember there in 2 Peter, if you want to take your Bible and turn that whole chapter, it's talking about the coming of the Lord. Where is the promise of His coming? You know, that's how it starts out. People are saying, where is the promise? We've heard that for a long time. And, where is the promise of His coming? That's verse 4. You know, and then the Lord tells us why He's not fulfilled that promise. It's not because, He's forgotten about His promise. No, He's aware of it, but He's waiting for us to get the job done as Christians. He's waiting for us to get the gospel to people. Say, He's not willing that any should perish. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. Here's what the Bible says. Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God. How can we hasten the coming day of God? Not only just looking for it. Are you looking for it? I am. We're to be looking for it, but we're to be hastening that day. How do we hasten it? We hasten it by spreading the gospel. Telling people about the Lord. Say, that last soul is going to have the opportunity to be saved. That last soul is going to hear the gospel one day. And boy, I tell you what, Jesus is going to come. He's going to come and take us home. He's waiting for us to get that gospel, that last soul saved. So we need to be strong in spreading the gospel. We often look at the world and we say, man, things are getting so bad. Things are getting so bad. Why, the come of the Lord must be close because things are getting so bad. No. You know, the come of the Lord is going to be close when things are getting so good. What's the thing that needs to get good? God's people are spreading the gospel like never before. God's people are, you know, opening their mouths and telling people about Jesus Christ. We need to change our thinking, folks. It's not things getting bad that hastens the coming of the day of the Lord. It's when things start getting good. When Christians start getting strong again at spreading the gospel and going to their neighbors, their friends, and their community, and the people they work with, and just getting the gospel out. That's what's going to hasten the coming of the Lord. Here's another truth that we need to be strong in. That is that we have everything we need to spread the gospel to every creature. As a child of God, you and I have everything we need to spread the gospel. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible says this. It says in verse number 3, it says, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the power to do the job. The Holy Spirit is within us. We have the Word of God. We got everything we need to spread the gospel. We have God's presence. You know, He said He'd be with us. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Lo, I'm with you always. We have His power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. All we have to do is yield to that power. All right? And we have God's promise. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Listen, you can spread the gospel. You can do it because He can. Not because you have the strength to, but because the Lord can give you the strength. He's in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And you can spread the gospel because He can. And therefore, you ought to say and I ought to say, I will do it. I'm going to do it because, you know, I have the power, and that power is inside of me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what it takes to be strong in spreading the gospel. The last truth that we need to be strong in, we've got to 10 of them. Amen. I didn't think I was going to do it. Been kind of going a little fast here, but the last truth we need to be strong in, and there's probably, you know, many more truths, but these are the 10 I think are very significant. And that is, we need to be strong in the truth that the Bible teaches. This is a day of good tidings. This is a day of good tidings. If you take your Bible and go back to 2 Kings and chapter number 7, you have the story of four lepers. In the Bible. And these lepers are dying. They're outside of the city of Jerusalem because back in those days, the leprosy was a picture of sin, and they were put outside the city because they could be that which would cause others to get that disease. And so they're thrown outside the city. They're dying. They don't have any food. Well, also the Bible says the Syrians are outside the walls of Jerusalem, and they've got the city surrounded, and they've cut off the food supply, and the people inside the walls, they are dying because they don't have any food. And so these fellas, you know, they're outside there, and they're thinking, man, you know, we're going to die anyway. We're going to die. We don't have any food out here. We're going to die of our leprosy. And, you know, they're not going to let us in to the city to have whatever food they've got because of our leprosy. And, you know, there's the Syrians over there. And, you know, they got all kinds of food. And, you know, if we go over there, they may just kill us anyway. We're going to die anyway. And so these lepers decide that they're going to go over there to the camp of the Syrians. And, you know, you remember the story that the Bible tells us. You know, that they go over there and God performs a supernatural work. God performs a supernatural work in verses 3 through 9. The Bible says that God causes Syrians to hear the sound of a tumult, and they think it's some invading armies coming. And so the Syrians, you know, they hike it out, they run, and they leave everything in their camp. Say. So we see that these four lepers, they start off with a terrible time of bad tidings of their life. They're going to die. There's a great famine going on. The famine was so great. The Bible says they were eating bird droppings inside the wall of the city of Jerusalem. I mean, famine is really, really great. It's a time of bad tidings. But we find here that it became a day of good tidings. And the first thing that happens to become a day of good tidings was there was a supernatural work of God. And God caused this tumult to be heard by the Syrians. And they leave. And these four lepers go into the city. And boy, they see all this food. They see all of this, you know, all the garments, all the money, all the trinkets and everything. And man, I'll tell you what a great day of good tidings it became for them as they see all this food. And they're just eating and enjoying, and they're just feasting on all this food. But not only did it become a day of good tidings because of the supernatural work of God, but it became a good tidings because the lepers experienced a change. Those lepers are feasting on this food, and all of a sudden, they come to their senses and they realize that, you know what? There are people dying. And in the wall, behind the walls in the city of Jerusalem, verse number 9 says, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9, then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. And so these four lepers became evangelists, if you please. And they went back into the city and they said, hey, there's all kinds of food. The Syrians are gone. And it became a day of good tidings because of the lepers' change in their attitude. They said, you know, we got this great food and we're feasting. And you know, there's people dying. We've got to take and tell them the good news. And that is that there's some food. They don't have to die of that famine. You know, people today are overwhelmed by bad news. I mean, oh, I'll tell you what, people, you know, they're living in the midst of bad news. The economy, lost a job. Maybe their homes are falling apart. Their kids are behind bars. I mean, so much bad news out there in this whole world. But this doesn't have to be a day of bad news for people. This could be a day of good tidings. Why? Because we've got the good news to tell them that there's a gospel, that they can be saved, that God loves them, that God can forgive their sin, that God can give them peace and joy in the midst of all the bad tidings that's out there in this world. We've got that message. We need to be strong in the truth that this is a day of good tidings. We need to be going and telling the good tidings, folks. There's a Savior. Change their lives, change their homes, change their marriages, change them. There's a Savior out there. Years ago, the story is told of a wealthy Toronto businessman. And he was on his way to work. Not able to get the bus that he was going to take, or the trolley he was going to take. And so he had to wait for the next one to come. And he saw this restaurant. He thought he'd go in and get some breakfast, you know, and just sit down, wait. And as he's about to go in, he sees this little street urchin boy in rags and, you know, real skinny and a discolored face and just skinny frame. And he has some compassion on that boy, and he says, son, hey, would you like to have breakfast with me? I'm going in here for breakfast. I'll take you in, and I'll buy the breakfast for you, and you can have breakfast. And the boy looked up. His eyes were kind of hollow in their sockets, you know, and he looked up in the face of that wealthy Toronto businessman, and he said, do you really mean that, sir? Do you really mean that? Yes, I do. I'll take you in. I'll buy it. You don't have to worry about it. I'll pay for the whole thing, and you can get as much as you want. He says, really? He said, yeah, come on. So that little boy goes in there, you know, and he sits down at the table, the breakfast table, and the waiters come, and, and wealthy Toronto businessman says, "Now listen, I want this and this and this, and you give this boy whatever he wants. You know, you just bring a plate of eggs and bacon and waffles. I hope you had your breakfast this morning, all right? And you know, bring orange juice and milk and all that." And I'll tell you something, that boy sitting there, he can't believe it. And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden this food comes, you know, it just fills up the table. And wealthy Toronto businessman says, "Now listen, you just go ahead, son. I'll pay for it. Just eat, and if that's not enough, we'll get some more. We'll get some more." And so the boy picks up his fork. He's about ready to take a bite out of that beautiful looking sunny side up egg, you know. And all of a sudden he's about ready, and he lays the fork down, doesn't touch that egg. And the wealthy Toronto businessman says, "Hey, you go ahead, son. It's paid for. You could. I'm sure you're hungry. You're hungry, aren't you?" "Oh yes, I am, sir. Oh yes, I am. And I've never had a breakfast like this. Oh yes, I am." "Well, go ahead, son." He said, little boy said, "I can't do it." He says, "I've got a friend of mine. His name is Willie. And you know, Willie and I are pretty good friends. And you know, Willie, you know, he doesn't have breakfast like this. He's hungry too, just like me." He said, "I can't eat this breakfast when Willie doesn't have anything." And I'll tell you something, the Toronto businessman is just overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed. He says, "Son," he says, "do you think you can go find Willie?" "Yeah, I think I can." "Well, why don't you go find him, and I'll have the waiter take this back, keep it warm, and you bring Willie, and we'll buy breakfast for Willie too." And that little boy looked up and said, "Really, are you going to do that?" "Yes, sir, I'm going to do that." And that boy took out of there like a shot of a can. He ran down the street, went down some alley, went up some old rickety steps in some dark, dingy, hotel or some housing place. And he knocked on the door and said, Willie, are you in there?" "Yeah, I'm in there." "Come on, Willie, there's a man wants to buy breakfast for us and we can have all we want." Boy, Willie came out of that room and he followed that friend of his down those stairs, those rickety steps, up the alley to that restaurant, went in there, and that boy and that friend of his sat down. Man, they just had eggs and pancakes and bacon, and boy, they just had a feast. You know something? Being saved is a feast, isn't it? Oh, what a feast of eternal life, forgives your sins, going to heaven any moment out of here. Oh, what a feast it is, going to heaven for all eternity. Oh, what a feast, all your sins gone. What a feast, justified. What a feast it is to be saved, accepted by the Beloved. You know, a son of God. Oh, a son of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What a feast it is. But folks, let me tell you something. There's all kinds of Willies out there. All over. There's Willies at your workplace. There's Willies in your neighborhood. There's Willies on the streets of McGuanago. There's Willies wherever you live. And you know what? There's some bad news in their life. There's some heartache in their life. There's some burdens in their life. And you know, you and I need to be strong in the gospel. Strong in the fact this is a day of glad tidings. And we've got the best news, the best message that anybody could ever hear. And we've got to be strong in that. If we don't believe that that's the best thing they could ever hear, you know what? We're going to be weak. We're going to be spreading the gospel. We need to get these 10 truths in our lives strong again. They need to be stronger than they were in 2010. And you need to say, "Oh God, help me to make these truths real and alive and strong in my life." Why? So I can spread the gospel. So we can go forward in spreading the gospel to a lost and dying world. Let's bow our heads and arch in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that 2011 will be a stronger year in all of our lives. In giving out the gospel, Lord, you've commanded us to spread the gospel to every creature. Help us not to be weak, Lord. Where we've become weak, may we shore up that weakness. May we shore it up with these truths today being renewed in our minds and our hearts. And that, Lord, that we would be the strong people that we need to give the gospel out. We'd see victories won. We'd see people getting saved, homes changed and lives rescued from a wasted life and a hopeless life and a purposeless life. Father, we just thank you now for the challenge of these truths. And I pray, dear Lord, that we will remember them and that we will think of them and allow them to propel us into that world out there around us that's so much in need of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And Father, we give the praise for it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.